There's a story about a farmer who was working in his barn, and after a few hours of working, he looks down at his arms and he realizes that his watch is missing. His watch must have fallen off as he was working amidst all the hay. He was pretty saddened by this, and he really wanted to find his watch. His watch wasn't so expensive, but it had tremendous sentimental value to him. And he quickly begins to push the hay all around, pushing his way through to find the watch. After searching for a few minutes, he realizes this isn't the easiest task, and he saw a number of kids who were playing right outside his barn, and he calls them over, and he takes out some money from his wallet, and he says, "Boys, I lost my watch right here in this barn. Whoever finds it, I'm gonna give you a nice reward." And the kids, these little kids, are all excited. They would love this money, and they quickly begin to look through all the hay in the barn. And they're looking and they're looking, and at first they're looking with such energy, but as time went on and no one was finding this, so they became lethargic. And quickly one of them quit, then a second one quit, like, we're not gonna find this. And finally the farmer, he said, "You know, I think it's time to give up. I don't think I'm finding this." And one little boy goes over to the farmer and he says, "Give me a chance. Give me a few more moments." And okay. The farmer went outside. He was waiting outside his barn. And as this last boy was there by himself, after about a minute or so, the boy comes out, holding the man's watch. And he gives the farmer the watch. And the farmer, his eyes light up, and he's so excited. And he says, "How do you find it? Where was it?" So the boy said as follows. He said, "I was waiting and I knew that if it was going to be silent in the barn, I'd be able to hopefully hear the ticking of the watch. And once I heard the tick, I knew which direction to search for, to go into that direction to be able to find it." When a person is quiet, when there's silence, we are able to gain so, so much. There are a lot of benefits to silence. The Gemara Megillah and Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph says, "Mala mila b'sela, mishtuka b'trin." That a word is worth a sela, but silence is worth two. Silence is double the amount. Silence is greater than words. And tonight I just want to talk about two ideas, two points to ponder, to think about in relation to the idea about silence. Of course, silence plays a prominent role in the parsha, not because it comes up throughout the parsha, but certainly the deaths of Nadab and Avihu, the sons of Aaron, and the Aaron's famous reaction of Vayidom Aaron, of Aaron's silence, is something that has made waves in the world, that we hear about, well, Leino, when someone goes to Levaya, so this could be quoted, the Vayidom Aaron, the fact that there is no answer. And it happens to be, so there's a Midrash Haggadah that explains that Moshe actually comforted Aaron. And Moshe says, "Amar lo achi, ze mi Sinai nemar li. I heard on Har Sinai, she'asad HaKadosh Baruch Hu lekadesh es habayis hazeh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to be mekadesh this Mishkan, uba'adam gadol ani mekadesho, that it was going to be through in Adam gadol. Through not just, and Vayisi Omer Oibi O Becha Habayis Hazeh Mitkadesh." And Moshe says, "I thought it was either going to be me or you who are going to be Mekadesh. We're pretty chashuv people. V'achshav, but now Nimsu Shnei Banecha Gedol Mimenu Mimeka. But now I see," Moshe says to Aaron, "that your sons are greater than you and I." Kevan Sheshama Aaron Miyad Shasak. When Aaron heard this, he was silent. Shenemar Vidom Aaron. That gave him a certain nechama. Now, I think even with a nechama like that, so after losing two sons, I don't think the average person, even with a profound answer and reason for why these sons were taken, I don't think the average person would remain silent still. I think there still are many, many questions about, but why? Granted, why Hashem did have to be Mekadesh, the Mishkan, with two people? Why did it have to be my sons? What look how great they were. Okay, they may have done this wrong. Different opinions amongst Chazal what they did wrong, but there could be plenty of questions. This doesn't necessarily justify the Vayidom Aaron. And of course, it takes superhuman strength for a person to be able to be quiet in a situation especially like that, to realize that there's no words that one could say, and that it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all his infinite knowledge to for a person to rely on that, to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have his reason, and I don't know that. And a person often has to realize that we're not supposed to act, we're not supposed to speak if we don't understand something. Over here, this is the greatest lesson, of course, of Aaron not knowing why this happened, and that's the Pasha Pshat, of course, of the Vayidom Aaron. Just there's nothing to say. I don't know. And what is there for me to even respond? And how could I respond? And there are other times in life where we think we want to act as if we understand something. We want to think, we want to speak. And let's say as a teacher, there are times I'm asked a question, times where I'm asked a shayla, and it might be, you know what? I definitely don't know a lot of Torah. And the worst thing to say is to almost, I don't want to say make something up, but to say, yeah, I think I heard this, or I think I heard that, is important to say, I don't know. Give me some time. Let me call my Rav, and let me get back to you. Or let me look it up. Let me find out for you. And it's important to know when a person should be silent, when a person should not speak, and should not act as if they know something. And another lesson, another important lesson related to silence is that oftentimes we actually gain more by speaking less. One example of this is a shiva house. I think people often feel tremendous pressure, discomfort before walking into a shiva house. And when thinking about it, I think there's two reasons for this fear of going into a shiva house. The first is, what's going to be if there's no one else there? It could be very uncomfortable. There's no one else around, just me and the person who I'm being Menachem Aval to, especially if I'm not necessarily very close with that person. And the second thing is, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to discuss? What should I say to the person? What if the person is not talking? And sometimes there's a certain awkwardness, and I don't know if you've ever been to a shiva house where you see someone talking about the most ridiculous things, as if that's going to help the person and give them nechama. And the halacha in Yordaya is that the person making a shiva visit is not allowed to initiate the conversation. You can't speak unless the person speaks to you. And this is learned out of Eov in Perek Beis, where Eov's friends visited him as he was in mourning, and they stayed there silently for a very long time, not speaking, because they saw his grief was so intense. And none of his friends said anything until Eov opened his mouth and spoke to them. And whenever I happen to go into a shiva house, if I have to make a shiva visit, I actually don't feel almost any discomfort, because I know that the whole goal of the shiva visit is to show the person that you care. It is just about being present. It is not about having to say anything to them. Just sitting there silently. Of course, if they engage you in conversation, so then you speak. But just being there, that's what it's about. And I recently, just last week, I made a shiva visit, and there was one other person there visiting while I was there, and after a few minutes, that person got up and left, and I felt fine. And I could just be there with the person. We ended up having a conversation, the person spoke about what they wanted to speak about, but it's just about you being present. And oftentimes when we open our mouths in situations like that, it is not something of words of enlightenment or necessarily nechama that come out. But it's trying to fill the void, fill that gap. Oh my God, there's silence. This is so awkward. I have to say something. And tied to this about the benefit of silence, so in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Gimel, so Rabbi Akiva says, Siyag l'chachma shtika, that the way to the fence for knowledge is silence. And also in Perek Aleph, in Mishnah Yud Zayin, Shimon, the son of Rav Gamliel, Shimon Bino Omer, Kol Yamai Gadati Vein HaChachamim, all my days I was raised amongst Chachamim, V'lo Matasi Laguf Tov Elashtika, and there's nothing greater that I found for the body than silence. Right? He was amongst Chachamim. and just being quiet and listening instead of talking, that's a way to attain wisdom. The Orchos Tzadikim says, "V'im hu yoshei ben hachachamim," regarding someone who sits amongst hachamim, "yishtok v'yishma divrehem," you should be silent and you shall listen to their words. "Kik shehu shosei," because when you're silent, "shomea mashalo yada," you're going to listen, you're going to hear things you never knew. But what's going to happen when you speak, says Orchos Tzadikim, "ukshehu medaber, eino mosif yediyah," you're not gaining any knowledge because by you speaking. I'm speaking, so clearly whatever I'm speaking is what I know. So let me be quiet, and then I'll hear what other people have to say. And here the son, Rama Gamliel, says, "The greatest thing in life, and the greatest lesson, is for me to be silent, to be amongst my father and his peers, to just listen to the words that they said. That is how to attain Chachma." It also happens to be, let's say there are plenty of times where I've been in certain meetings, and there are certain personalities, of course, at meetings, and there are certain people who have to always comment, who have to say their two cents. And it could be they have wise things to say, could be they don't necessarily have such wise things to say. But I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where there is people who don't speak so much, and they're there, and you could tell they're focused, you could tell they're listening, and once in a while they speak, and usually everyone pays attention to them. And usually, whatever it is that they're about to say is usually wise, because they don't always have to speak, and they know that they don't always have to comment on everything. And when they do comment, it's usually something very sharp, something enlightening. And that's a lesson that I've learned. And another important lesson is that this is a noisy world, and we don't need to add to it. Think about cell phones in shul. On a weekday, it's rare at a shachris, potentially even a mincha or mariv, where you're in a davening and you don't hear a cell phone go off at some point. For myself, I used to put my cell phone on vibrate, and I used to daven if I ever got a text or a phone call, it's okay, it would vibrate, no one else would hear, it wouldn't disrupt others. But I realized it was disrupting myself. It was distracting to my own tefillah. And I realized a few years ago that I have to put my phone on silent. I said, it doesn't even make sense. I wasn't even going to answer my phone in davening. On rare cases would I respond to a text if it was urgent. So I realized, let me just put my phone on silent. It really, mamish, it changed my davening to be able to just remove myself from that noise. And there is plenty, plenty of noise in this world. There's a group called the Quiet Coalition who have a very impressive website, and their mission statement is as follows. I'll read to you from their website. The Quiet Coalition consists of science, health, and legal professionals concerned about the impacts of noise on health, environment, learning, productivity, and quality of life in America. They say, we believe an evidence-based approach to noise as a health and social problem, combined with educational outreach and organized action, can lead to meaningful change. So there's a whole group of psychologists, doctors, lawyers, who want to stop the noise in this world. There is so much noise and there's so much distraction. And our mouths often add to this. The necessity to feel as if we always have to speak. We always have to engage in conversation. We always have to make sure that the person knows what's on our mind. That is a deficiency. And it's a flaw. And it's a very beautiful thing to be able to sit silently, to be able to listen to others, to take something in, to absorb something, and to only speak when something has really been formulated within our minds of what we actually want to say. And obviously, there's a lot more to say about silence, and when it comes to the parsha and seeing the greatest test that a person could have, Dr. Pelkovitz, I've heard him say that the hardest loss for a person to get over, which he says almost impossible to fully get over, is a loss of a child, and for Aaron to lose two sons, and not just on any day, but two sons on the Chanukah's Habayis, the first day, the inauguration, the Yom HaShmini, of the operation of the Kohanim working in the Mishkan, for it to be at that moment his two sons while going into the Mishkan, it's a mind-boggling thing for his response to be Vayidom Aaron. We should be able to learn for that. And the last thing is to realize that our job is to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in Shmona Esrei, we say Umi Domelach in the second bracha. Who's like you? So that's a simple pshat. Who's like you, Hashem? But I've heard of pshat. I've heard this from Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. I've heard this from Rav Chaim Marcus. I could not find the source for this, but I've heard them both explain. Umi domelach. We're saying Hashem, like that word of domim, of someone who's silent. Vayidom. Umi domelach. Who's silent like you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the pshat is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we sin, when we mess up, Hashem is silent. Hashem doesn't have to punish us right away, and Hashem is patient to wait for us. So we have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Hashem's silence, to be able to act like Him, to realize that there's a time to speak, and there are plenty of times where we shouldn't speak. We should be zocha to make sure to use our mouths properly, to be able to speak when we have to, and to be able to listen, more importantly, when the time and the situation calls for it.